Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Justine Rutolo. I'm also known as Miss ADD. I want to welcome everyone to the program today. I'm so excited about this show and wanted to tell you a little bit about these two people that are going to be on the show. So Debbie is the mom and Lily is the daughter. So I met Debbie and Lily about 2 years ago at one of my support groups, and they were just amazing together. Just so much love and acceptance between the two of them. Lily at the time was a senior in high school, or possibly even a junior, and moving into senior year, and just so much support and love from her mom. And both of them had been diagnosed with ADHD, and it was very interesting to see the dynamic. So since that time, Lily has gotten a full scholarship to Boise State in Idaho, and so she's left Southern California, and Debbie has moved to Texas, so I've been missing them tremendously and asked them if they would be willing to come on the show and talk about not only all their successes, but also the challenges that they've experienced with ADHD and how they got to that incredible place. So without further ado, I would like to bring both Debbie and Lily on the program.
Hi, Justine.
Hi. Hi.
How are you?
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Awesome.
How are you?
I'm great. I miss you guys a lot. I really do.
I miss you every day.
I miss you too, Justine.
The group has, I know. I miss you, honey, so much. The group has never been the same since you two have left. There was an energy from you two that always made it so great to be there. And the other people in the group, because I told them you were going to be on the show today, just all send their love and want to make sure that you guys are doing okay. So
we're doing. I think we're both doing great, Hollow.
Definitely.
Good.
I'm so happy. So Lily, how is your second year of school? Have you started yet or no?
I start in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
I'll be starting.
And
on
how
the,
was
yeah,
your
the
first year?
First
how
year
was, your
was
first
good.
Year?
It's definitely it's a completely different animal from high school, which is, you know, what I spent 4 years learning to do. And then, you know, getting into college, it's completely different. There's a lot that I'm still trying to figure out. The first semester wasn't too bad. Second semester, I definitely struggled. I'm just trying to, you know, figure out what's going on and ask for help. That's become pretty much the biggest thing, is having to get over my own pride and ask for help from anyone who can help me.
Great. That's so wonderful, because so many people, and I know you know this, in our population, we have a very difficult time with asking for help, and I think a lot of that is related to the shame that we feel if we ask for help, then people are gonna think we're not smart.
We've failed,
which,
somehow.
Yes, exactly. And there's nothing wrong with failure, right?
Nope. My whole plan is that I've accepted the fact that I, you know, have struggled, but from here on out, I'd like to use what I've learned to do better.
Yes. See? That's so awesome. That's a great mantra. I love that. So I want the both of you to talk, but I did put together some questions for them so that we wouldn't get all jumbled up today. So I wanted to ask Lily first, and Debbie, you can jump in with this too, because of course you were there when this happened, and you were probably very instrumental in getting her diagnosed. So when was Lily first diagnosed?
Lily, do you remember?
Well, I know you were diagnosed first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly, but Mom was diagnosed first, and then she basically came to me and was telling me about it, and she'd done a bunch of research, and she was like, you probably have something very similar, you know, let's get you checked out. If, you know, if you are diagnosed with it, then we can work through this together. If not, then, you know, that's totally cool, too. I did end up getting diagnosed with combined ADD, ADHD. That was about a year and a half or so ago.
Okay. So, Debbie, when were you diagnosed?
I think maybe 6 months before Lily, so
Okay,
yeah.
So about 2 years ago, when I first met
yeah.
you. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Lily was after that. And
yeah.
so how did both of you feel about that initial diagnosis?
For me, I was relieved because, you know, for so long, well, my entire life I chalked up my difficulties with just being defective. And
exactly.
when I found out that there was an actual, you know, root cause and I wasn't stupid or, you know, the labels, that there
right.
actually was, there was, you know, a reason for it. And, you know, it was a relief. It was liberating, really.
Definitely.
Wow.
I feel like
that's great.
To a point, you're, you know, at least because I was, you know, a teenager at the time, I'm used to hearing people speak poorly of those who've been, you know, diagnosed with ADD and ADHD because, you know, a lot of people seem to think that it's used as an excuse. So
mm-hmm,
there
yes.
was an immediate kind of concern of what people were going to think. But then at the same time, it really does just kind of say, or it helped me to say, you know, to myself, that I'm not just defective. It's not that I just can't. It's that there's a reasoning behind it, and because I know the reason, I can work toward moving past this.
Right.
Instead
wow. of being a nameless, faceless
instead
enemy,
of just not being
you know
good
what
enough.
You know exactly what it is and how to address it. And
right. It's
to,
outside
work.
Of you. Like I have ADHD. It's not I am
exactly.
ADHD.
Exactly.
It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
This is what I'm dealing
so,
with, and here's all the ways to work through it, and that's where you
exactly.
were, I think, just a life raft for both of us. But,
definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think
you gave us the tools to figure out how to move
yeah.
forward.
I felt like I was
yeah.
drowning, and you were the life preserver that was thrown to me to teach me how to swim.
That's so nice of you to say. I remember that first night, I think
yeah.
it was, that we met. Debbie
yeah.
and I, and you were in tears, basically,
yeah.
over the symptoms. And you know, that's when you decided to come and see me privately.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably a few months after that you decided to come. But we talked
mm-hmm.
a lot
yeah.
about how it can be so devastating when you first find out. But there's a freedom in finding out, but there's also then that mountain you're looking at in front of you that you just have to break into little hills instead of
exactly.
looking at as a
yeah,
big mountain.
I can't reiterate enough that you were a source of hope that I, never had.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I
I'm
feel
so
like
glad that I was.
The symptoms of ADD and ADHD create so many problems that you end up, specifically for me, growing up with, that just make you feel like there's something that's just defective about you. It's something that's shameful. There are, you know, things that you think about yourself and feel about yourself that you don't discuss because that's the kind of thing that, you know, you're not supposed to discuss in polite company. You don't do that. But getting into this group where you've got a bunch of people who all have the same problems, who come from the same place and all feel the same things, it's a safe place to discuss that, which is bizarre. And it is a little bit overwhelming at first. And I probably did my fair share of crying because it's just a really weird feeling being able to actually discuss things that you are, you know, you've been ashamed of for so long.
Yeah. And so I have to just say that, first of all, the both of you grabbed tools I gave you. That's a big part of this. You know, I tell people all the time, if you don't do the work, then you don't get better. But the other thing
exactly.
is, and this is the thing I really want to tell everybody, I want to scream this because it's so amazing to me, is Lily would come to that group, and she was young. She was a junior, I believe, or was she a
senior in high school?
The end of June. She was a senior at the time. Okay. But you would come to that group, and you would sit there with schemas and all the work that we were doing, which a lot of times you would want to say is for adults, and you were right in there doing the work, talking about your feelings. It was amazing to have you in that group. I've never experienced that at that young age, to see that. And then to have you and your mom, and I said this in the beginning as I introduced you, to be so connected with each other. Not enmeshed. Did not see
no.
that enmeshment. But what I saw
no.
was a connection that was very powerful.
Yeah.
my entire life we've had a very good relationship, and the way that she puts it is that from the time that I was an infant, she just treated me with the basic respect of a human being. She has always treated me like a person, and she has always taken
Amazing.
Care of me, so it was really nice being able to go through this together. You know, I had to make the personal decision to do the work because it was worth it to me, but I also got to do it with my mom, which was a really cool experience.
Oh, it's so sweet. That is so nice. It really is. It's so refreshing, so different to hear these kind of conversations between a mother and a daughter, and that's why I've spread this show around to so many places, because I wanted so many people to listen to this, whether it's today or after today. But I want to stop for a minute and just remind everybody they can call in. The number is 917-889-7025. You might want to call in and just ask Debbie and Lily how they were really able to create this strong bond where there was total acceptance from Debbie's point of view for her daughter, for who she was, not for what she did, and vice versa. So, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something about that. As you know, there's mothers and daughters everywhere.
Yes.
But Lily and I chose to be something that transcends the mother and daughter relationship, and it took work and effort, and just like any good relationship, and that is, you know, good communication, like you said, total acceptance, a willingness to, well, the ability to go to each other and say, you hurt me, you disrespected me, you wronged me, this or that, and the other person didn't get defensive, but we heard what the other had to say, and we apologized, and corrected our behavior, and I think that's something that's so rare and wonderful that she and I have been able to have, you know, from a young age, and I think moms and dads really, really, really need to hear that your children need to be able to come to you and tell you that you did wrong, you hurt their feelings, and to be able to not get defensive and apologize and recognize and, you know, validate, I did hurt you, and I'm sorry. And I think that's just tells your children that you respect them, you value them, and that their feelings are as important as yours, and just because they're the child in the relationship, that doesn't mean that they are less than or not, you know, not important, that they are valued as much as you expect to be valued and respected by your child. I mean, it's
and because you've always valued me and trusted me and respected me as a person, I, of course, it's natural for me to give you the same. You deserve my respect, and I know that.
And Lily has shown me so much grace.
So amazing. You know, I'm sitting here listening to the two of you, and I know that none of this is put on because I know you two, and I know how real this is. But here's the other thing that I just heard Lily say, which I really think is the most powerful piece of this whole little conversation we're having. Lily felt your love, your acceptance, your trust. I'm sure when Lily went out, you didn't start questioning her. You said, I trust you. I trust that you're going to make the right decisions. That is what is missing. Not only ADHD. This is across the board with parents and adolescents.
What that
Well,
mean?
Of course.
All she wanted to know
Would you
was
say,
that
look,
I got there safely.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is safety is the most important thing to parents. But the point I'm trying to make is if you give your child that trust and that love and that acceptance unconditionally, they're going to be hard-pressed to do some really bad things behind your back. Am I right, Lily?
I
think.
I would guess so. I mean, I haven't necessarily been there.
Well,
right.
I think it's definitely, it's helpful having a parent who trusts me, who loves me, and who gives me the benefit of the doubt. And if I screw up, I can go to her and say, look, I screwed up and I need some help. And she, you know, I know that there have been times where I have disappointed her, but she doesn't treat me worse. She doesn't do anything like that. She's just going to say, all right, here's where you screwed up. Here's how we fixed it.
Right.
Yeah, here's and we all do it. And I think the roles have been reversed a number of times where I messed up. And, you know,
Right.
we're human.
Really, I think it's been huge to me that if you acknowledge that you have wronged me in some way, you will go out of your way to come to me and apologize. And that shows
yes.
humility, which a lot of the time I feel like parents don't necessarily extend to kids because they just assume that they are the authority. But the fact that
exactly.
you are willing to apologize when you think that you've wronged me does mean a lot. It always has.
Well, us being
and I,
on good terms is really the highest priority of my life. And
right,
has always
exactly.
been. I want us to be healthy, so.
And I also think that when you apologize to Lily or you have in the past, you don't apologize with buts. I'm
with
sorry,
that?
But you know, you did this,
oh, no,
this
no.
or this.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
You own it.
Exactly. You
100%.
Own it. 100%. And so then to take that full circle again, that's why I asked Lily that question. If you have that kind of relationship with a parent or parents,
mm-hmm.
whatever the situation may be, it's really, these are the kids that grow up to be healthy. Like Lily is growing up to be a healthy young woman because she understands that total acceptance and unconditional love from the person that is her mother.
And that has always meant a lot to me.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So let's go back to the questions. We have three people here with ADHD, so I'm sure we'll go off a little bit, but that's okay. So, Lily, how did you do in school, like when you were younger?
So if we're talking
was
like
it struggle?
Little kid me, starting in about, if I recall, like first grade, you know, very simple
okay.
stuff, I just was struggling, couldn't do it. So my parents put me in a tutoring program specifically for math because I just couldn't do it. And I very quickly settled into that system, which is basically just lots of practice and repetition and studying until it clicks and it makes sense. You need help, you go get it. So
right.
that became just my mentality. That's how I faced any kind of work. So from that point on, I did pretty well because I was used to just practice, do it over and over and over again until it makes sense. And if it absolutely just isn't making sense, go ask someone for help. So for the
wow.
most part, I did really well. You know, initially it was difficult, but because I did that program, that kind of taught me how to go about work. So
okay.
that kind of was my work ethic.
Did you have that throughout elementary school?
Yeah, I was in that program from first grade until right before I started high school.
Wow. That's really good. So that was
yeah.
that was a place that you could go and get extra help and help you succeed, which
basically.
Is awesome.
And the cool
yeah.
thing is that became her first job. Was they
exactly.
After she finished the program, they hired her to be a tutor, so it went full circle.
Oh. How
yeah.
great
so
is that?
So I started out
yeah.
getting help and then helping others. It's great. So
wow.
one of my favorite things is teaching because I know how important it is to have. You know, everybody has a different way of learning things. Everybody's brain will reach that point where something clicks in a different way. So the whole point is to try and figure out how to make it click. Some people need to write things down. Some people need to see particular things or hear particular things. It's different for everyone, which
right.
is part of why I
right.
love being a tutor.
Wow. You know, and the other piece of this is a couple of months ago I read this article about ADHD, and they were saying the worst thing you can tell somebody with ADHD is to work harder.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work
no.
for us. When we hear
no.
that kind of like, what? So
makes
what
us
Lily
shut down.
Just said, yeah, absolutely. What Lily just said is powerful because she's right. If I can't get it this way, then maybe I need
to
learn
find
it
another way.
This way. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So instead of working harder, we need to work differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
There have been some times where it, you know, it came down to me thinking that, you know, I'd exhausted every option and I just needed to try harder. I've had a lifelong history of if I could just try harder, I could get this done, which is part of where so many of my problems came from. But, you know, being diagnosed
mm-hmm.
with ADHD is like, all right, it's not necessarily that I just needed to try harder. It's that there legitimately
mm-hmm.
has to be a different way for me to go about this. And,
right. I have
you know,
to I want to jump in and say that that was
there.
Having a front row seat to the process of Lily going through what she just explained and having the aha moment, like the hard work and the determination and giving 100% of herself to figure something out and like to try the different avenues of making it click, to watch her have the aha moment and then soar after that was just, it was so fun. Like, you know, it was,
that's so great. And
yeah,
all
really
that
was.
While, you never knew that she had ADHD.
I mean, for that 6 month period after my own diagnosis, I had a hunch because I saw her struggle with similar things that I struggled with. But prior to that,
I understood,
even though I didn't have a name, I understood because I lived it myself. So while I didn't know it was
ADHD, but
ADD,
as a child, you didn't know that with her.
No. But I recognized her struggles and could sympathize.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that did help. Is I knew that it wasn't just me because I knew that, you know, even though a lot of my classmates didn't have the same issues I did, I knew that, you know, in the past maybe my mom had issues with things like this. It's like, all right, it's not just me. There are, you know, problems.
Yeah,
it's
my entire life I chalked
it
up to dyslexia because I was diagnosed with dyslexia in, I think, first grade. So I chalked all of my struggles and difficulties up to dyslexia. And as I got older and older and things got more and more difficult, I was like, this can't be dyslexia. This can't just be dyslexia.
Yeah. Right. So. Did Lily have dyslexia, Lily?
No.
Nope.
No. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Yeah, no, dyslexia, I never experienced it firsthand, but I know people in my life that I love have it, and it's not something easy to overcome.
No, it's very, very frustrating on a daily basis.
It can be very difficult. Yeah. So Lily, you made it through and got to high school, and I guess what a lot of people would like to know is how were you able – now, I know you went to a very small high school, and maybe you can tell everybody about your high school.
Okay. I went to a small private school that was originally in Culver City. Inside the Star Eco Station, in the very back hallway, was Star Prep Academy. So in the entire school, 6th through 12th grade, there were about anywhere from 60 to 70 people at any given time. So in my class, there were 4 of us.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So definitely small classes, which was very helpful when it came to if there was a class I was struggling in and I needed help, it was not difficult to get one-on-one time with a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which was a huge part of why we chose that school, because it was rigorous academics, but the opportunity to work one-on-one with teachers was, you know, not an issue.
Because we knew that chances are, at certain points in time, I was going to need help, and that was my best shot.
Mm-hmm.
So did you like that kind of school versus the regular high school that you could have gone to? Was there any time that you were feeling like, gee, I wish I could have been in a different high school?
There are some times that I definitely wish that I'd had more social interactions, specifically more healthy social interactions, because my classmates were not healthy people. And I would think that my only other complaint would be from an academic standpoint that they didn't actually offer AP courses, which was frustrating. That's pretty much it. Other than that, it was a pretty good experience. That unlocked a lot of doors for me. That's where I learned, you know, to play guitar, and I got the chance to perform some really amazing places. So overall,
I want you to talk about that. Yeah, Lily is an amazing songwriter. She's an amazing singer, and I would really love you to tell everybody what you've told me about how writing music has helped you.
Well, for me, you know, there is these lifelong feelings of, you know, there's everything's just a little bit more difficult, everything's a little bit of a struggle, and it's shameful. You're not supposed to talk about it. You're not supposed to, you know, discuss your problems and the feelings of shortcoming. You know, I spent so much of my life verging on self-hate, just really, really not liking me. And it was just really difficult living so long not liking me. I still every day have to repeat these, you know, self-love mantras because that's how I keep my mind in a good place, because if I don't do it, I'm going to slip back into old habits. But specifically with writing music, is I know that I'm not the only one who feels like that, because I've heard songs that just spoke to me. And that's where I get a lot of emotional connections, is if I hear a song that I'm like, all right, I get it. I'm not the only one who feels like this. They felt like this too, and they figured out how to put it to words. That's my goal, is to take, you know, the things that I felt, the things I've experienced, figure out how to put it to words and share it with other people so that, you know, other people can hear it and go, oh man, I get it now. I figure out, you know, how to feel about this, and I know I'm not the only one who's felt it.
Wow. That's very powerful. And I know, Debbie, you've always encouraged her with her music.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was probably one of the greatest gifts of my entire life, was to be part of that.
Yeah. So I just wanted to touch upon, you know, the whole trauma piece of your lives. I mean, both of you have been through a lot. We don't need to go into specifics, but I would like maybe possibly both of you to talk about how you think the trauma in your life affected your ADHD symptoms. Did it exacerbate it? Did it make it worse, or was it better? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can jump in and say that definitely exacerbates the symptoms when you're emotionally exhausted, when stress is, you know, stress factors are through the roof, or even minimal stress really, but when stress is high, totally exacerbates the symptoms. Even when, like right now, I'm doing really, really well because there's pretty much no stress in my life. But,
So
my symptoms are at a minimum, but when stress factors, even small ones, come up, I definitely feel myself having to really slow down and be extremely intentional about everything that I do. I can't just assume I'm okay because I end up making a decent bit of mistakes. So, the traumas have definitely been make symptoms worse.
Yeah.
I feel like more than anything, it really is the stress. Like in my life, pretty much everything that I try to do is to minimize stress because it makes everything so much worse. You know, it takes so much time and so much care to try and just make sure that everything, you know, goes more smoothly, goes the way it's supposed to. And then when stress shows up, it's like there's so much of your brain that's trying to process and handle that everything else falls to the wayside. Your ability to process and to take care of everything else just slows way, way down. And for much of my life, I thought I wanted to be a vet, which is part of what I'm going to school for. And this summer, I've been working in a vet clinic, and it is such a stressful environment, and I know that I can't do that.
Right. It is.
Really
I would imagine it would be very... Yeah, it would be very stressful, I would think.
Yeah.
Working there. If it's, you know what's really good, Lily, is that you're figuring this out.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something that I really want to do. And it's interesting because I think that, I know that when people go through trauma in their life, stress can really bring them back to those places very easily.
Definitely.
And, yeah.
It brings you back to that feeling of weakness.
Yeah. And you really went through a lot, and Debbie, of course, you know, I know what you've been through, but from the standpoint of, you know, being a kid and going through what she went through and then going off to college and thinking, you know, this is what I really want to do, but then you get into a situation that is so stressful, you say, no, I don't want to live like this. I want to live in a mindful place, and I want to feel happy and peace, and
Then
you don't have to know what you want to do.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Next semester, I'm taking a meditation and mindfulness class.
Good for you, Billy.
I'm really excited about that. It'll make my life better.
That's so great.
I want to make sure that I'm reintegrating this into my life. You know, I probably got kind of lazy with my mantras and my meditation, so I'm trying to get back into it. This summer has been, it's been me time. I'm living by myself. I'm trying to, you know, just have some me time, be good with me.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So you're going to live by yourself?
Just during the summer I have been. I will be moving back into university apartments with some friends, so that will be nice.
Okay.
But during the summer, yeah, it's it's just been me, which has been kind of hard because I'm not super used to that. But I figure this is a very good opportunity for me to be okay with me again.
That's great. Listen to her. She's amazing.
I know it. I wanted to chime in and say one thing about your kids changing their college/career
path. Yes.
Absolutely give your kids the freedom to do that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's please, don't.
Yeah.
I think if I'd come down on Lily and been disappointed in her about wanting to change her career path or, you know, and I think a lot of young people experience that, and they're like, they don't want to tell their parents, or their parents are hard on them because parents have expectations and have invested time and resources in helping their kids get where they're going. But just give them the freedom to change their mind and not feel condemned for it. Just be excited.
Right.
Like, it's an exciting process that she's going through. And, you know, thank God she figured this out before she went to veterinary school.
Vet school.
But, you know.
Yeah. That would have been a lot harder.
Put your ego aside and let your kids do what they want to do. Put your own ego aside and let your kids do it, you know, be who they are and do what they want to do. So.
And just what you're, the last comment that you made about ego is many times what I see is, and I have to say I've done a lot of things wrong in my life as a parent, because I'm human. But this is the one thing I did right. And when my kids told me what they wanted to do, I just supported them instead of saying, really? Really? You don't want to do this? You don't don't make this about you. This isn't about you. You already went to college. You already chose what you wanted to do. Right?
Yeah.
So
take
this is their turn.
Shoulders.
Exactly. It's their turn. And
that's definitely
you know,
a lot.
Yeah, see, I mean, Lily, repeat that.
That's meant a lot, because I know that I have the freedom to look around, because now I don't necessarily know what I want to do, but I know that that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to be irresponsible with my education. I'm going to continue on my path, but I'm going to, you know, I now have options. I'm going to try everything because I can.
That's what this time in your life is all about.
That's exactly right. I mean, you don't get this time back again.
Mm-mm,
you know?
No.
So really enjoy this time. Take your time.
How many people end up doing something that they absolutely hate because mom and dad had expectations that they needed to be something besides what they wanted to be? So that's just setting yourself up for failure and stress.
Are you continuing your music, Lily?
Yeah, I actually just had a show a couple of days ago, which was a lot of fun. It was my first official show in Boise, so it was a lot of fun.
Okay, great. Great, I'm so glad. Are you still writing?
Yeah, I broke my thumb on my left hand in this last October. And I didn't
what
get
happened?
The cast off until, I was ice skating with a friend, and the friend had never ice skated before and fell and took me right down with him. So I fell on top of my thumb and broke it. So I wasn't able to play for months. So unfortunately, you know, just like anything, playing music is kind of a habit that I'd built, and I fell out of it, and I'm trying really hard still to get back into it.
Yeah, it's hard when you get out of something that you're used to doing. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm,
but
I'm
you're so,
writing a lot
you're
more
You're so
actively.
Talented. You are an incredibly talented young woman. So I know that big things are coming for you with music. I know they are. And you have a YouTube channel, right?
I do. I don't think I posted anything new in a little while, but I'm on all kinds
of things.
That's okay.
A lot on it.
Instagram, Facebook, SoundCloud.
So it's under Lily Cates, right?
Lillian Cates.
Lillian
Cates.
Actually,
when I get to work
in
the morning, I've got about an hour where I can listen to what I want. So I put Lily's SoundCloud channel on just about every day so I can listen to her while you're ready for work. Or while
That's
I'm
so nice.
Work. Yeah.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm so happy because it means so much when your mom is so enthusiastic, too, about what you're doing, you know?
She always has
it really.
From the very, very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, We talked a little bit about, you know, what it was like for you growing up. I'm not telling tales out of school here when I say, Debbie, you and her dad separated, and she lived with you. Her dad was in Texas, correct?
Correct. That's correct, yes.
Right, right. And Lily, how was that, having your dad far away?
When I was little, it didn't really register, and it was just something that made me upset because I didn't necessarily understand it. And I guess it reached a point where I was just, I don't know, I felt like he didn't really want me in his life, which is why he was far away. But
okay.
As I've gotten older, he's become a lot more active in my life, specifically now that
right.
I'm in college. I talk to him almost every day. You know, we
wow.
talk a lot. He's very active in my life, which is kind of, like, it's been weird for me. At first, I didn't trust it. I wasn't sure how I felt about it, but now it's honestly meant a lot to me. You know, when I told him that, you know, I didn't want to be a vet, I was a little bit worried that he was going to think that I just was a quitter, and he basically was like, all right, you know, do what you got to do. And it's just been really weird having my dad be active and supportive in my life, but it's meant a lot.
It's so great. It's great. I'm so happy to hear that, that he's, you're talking to him all the time, and that he's
yeah.
a part of your life, and that's
I actually
just a wonderful
had a,
thing.
A long conversation with him yesterday, of all days, and for
okay.
the first time, you know, I told him a lot of things that I'd not expected to tell him, but, you know, I let him know that, you know, for times in my life, I thought he didn't like me. I thought he didn't want me around. And he, you know, for the first time, you know, outright told me that, you know, he really does like me and he loves me and he cares about me and he always has, and that, you know, he's so glad that he's able to be a part of my life now. And that is
wow.
one of the most healing conversations I've had mm-hmm. in a long time.
Oh, that's so nice.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. It really is.
Yeah.
It truly is amazing. Yeah. And Debbie, you're close with him too. I mean, you talk to him, and you guys
the
are fine.
The funny thing is that I live now minutes from him, and I talk less and see less of him than I used to. That's weird. But yeah, we keep in touch about Lily when necessary.
That's great.
So
that's important.
But,
and I know
yeah,
that you always did when she was growing
yeah.
up. So
yeah.
you know, even though it was hard for her to understand exactly what was going on, look at where she is now. Which is amazing, you know.
Yeah.
That you were able to say that to your dad. And see, these are why I love these shows, is because people like you two come on the show, and we show people that how powerful is communication.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
Definitely.
I mean, it's incredible
so many
to
ways.
Be able to, yeah. Just to be able
it
to
makes
tell,
you incredibly vulnerable to say particular things, and it leaves you in a very scary place because you're not sure how what you just said is going to go over, but it can be extremely powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and usually
yeah.
when you have those hard conversations, it leads to, you know, a deeper, more intimate relationship with the person you're putting up to.
Right.
Provided that person's open to it.
And what's interesting to me, Lily, is that you were able to say those things to your dad, being vulnerable, which is so important and so big for me, and not really knowing exactly what you were going to get back. So you put yourself out there and basically said to yourself, I need to say these things to him. I don't know what
yeah.
I'm going to get back, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to tell him how I feel, which is amazing that you could be vulnerable, not knowing what was going to happen.
And it felt great because it's like a massive weight is just lifted off my chest, because it's not something that will just be kind of silently lurking in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. I've said it. And
right.
That's yeah,
awesome.
That's
right.
About
and,
it.
You got back positives from him, which is great.
Exactly.
Right.
Which, with my dad specifically, getting pretty much any level of emotion from him is very rare. So that was impressive.
That's
yeah.
good. It tells me how much you mean to him.
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because he made himself so vulnerable in opening up to you, Lily.
Exactly.
Yeah. He does
which
not
is
do that.
Not something that he makes a habit of doing, which
no,
exactly
with anybody.
Speaks to how much I mean to him. And that that was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's got to make you feel amazing. It really
Definitely.
Does.
That's awesome.
Now, there's been another very important man in your life, and that's your uncle, who I had the opportunity of meeting. He's a great, just a great guy. You want to talk a little bit about David?
I love David. David's great. He's always been there for me. He's always taken an interest in my life. He's always been funny. He is the funny uncle. He's great. And I know for a fact that he loves me a lot, and he always makes sure to tell me how important I am to him, which has always been really nice.
Wow. Now, this is Debbie. I just want everybody to know this is your brother, and I know you two are just so close.
Yep, we've always been since I've got this picture of him holding me when I got home from the hospital, and it's pretty much hasn't changed.
So great.
He and I are as close as can be, and we have this joke that anytime he listens to Lily's music or watches any of her videos, he cries because he just loves her so much, and he's just so touched, you know, so deeply touched by her and her gifts, and the way he loves her is a beautiful thing.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. So I wonder if maybe we could take a little bit of time, because I know that the theme of my show is ADHD, of course, and I thought we could take a little bit of time and just talk through the executive function deficits, and let's just check in and see how everybody's doing with them.
Okay.
I know, Debbie, you had let me know that you're doing much better because of the lack of stress, but I'm wondering about where both of you with procrastination at this point, because I remember that was something, that's something that across the board is big for all of us, procrastination.
I mean, procrastination is, I think what I said to you is that there's those things that probably won't ever go away, and instead of being hard on myself and beating myself up, I just kind of laugh it off and cut myself some slack and try to be better, but I don't beat myself up over it or let it get me down. I do procrastinate with things, but not important things.
Okay.
Like things that I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I do. I absolutely do. I get the difference. What about you, Lily?
I think for the most part, I've done pretty well with it. There are certain things where it's, like, monotonous. Like, I need to, you know, go through some of my belongings and throw things out before I leave. And I know I need to do that. And I know I have time to do that. I should probably do that now. I actually started today. It was like I finally just told myself to just go do it. But, you know, with classes and things like that, I think there's definitely, like, a ranking system in my head of how urgent something is. And depending on how urgent it is, it may or may not get done urgently.
Right.
That's great. I like the way you put that together. That's really, that's great. So I have a question, though. When you were in high school and you had something to do, like a paper or you had a project to do or study for a test, and you were procrastinating, how did you handle that? Because I would love to hear I want to hear you explain to the people who are listening how you positively handled that with Lily.
I think we talked a lot. I think, you know, I would explain. I think, Lily, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I would probably just come to you and talk to you about what it's going to do to you to procrastinate.
Because
and
it
then I didn't want to see that. I didn't want to see it happen to you. I didn't want to see you go through what you're going to do to yourself with procrastinating on the important things. And try to game plan, okay, what can you do, what factors can you eliminate from your life right now that, you know, contribute to poor time management and procrastinating. So, and I'm sure that there are times that I got frustrated because it was time, you know, days and days would go by and it had been no progress on something that needed to be done. But again, it was more just, I knew what was going to happen to her.
Fair.
I knew the toll it was going to take on her. It was never about, you know, me, it was about, I knew the toll it would take on her, what it was going to do to her emotionally to put something off till the 11th hour and then maybe not do as well as she'd hoped.
Yeah.
Right.
So
did you ever feel, Lily, because I have some clients, teenage clients who get angry at their mom or their dad because whoever has the ADHD who will say to them, kind of chastise them because they're not getting their stuff done. And they'll say to me, but, you know, I look at them and they procrastinate all over the place. And that's kind of upsetting because it is. I mean, you know, for a parent to attack a child
on
something they're not...
You, even though they're doing the same thing.
Right. Was that ever an issue for you if you saw your mom doing, you know, not getting things done? Was that ever something that you felt like, she's, you know, challenging me on this and I can see that she's not always getting things done?
I don't think, nothing sticks out in my head. Like, there's no memory I could draw on off the top of my head of me getting upset that she was mad at me about procrastinating and I was mad at her because she was doing the same thing. I don't think so.
I think with regard to my procrastinating, the things... What's that, babe? Sorry.
Well, I know that that can be an element in certain relationships, but I don't...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think when I procrastinated on things that impacted your life, it was frustrating, but I don't ever think that we... considered each other hypocrites because we understand what it's like to be us.
Right.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. And
it's like,
which
if I'm
is
frustrated,
why...
I'm going to let you know, but I'm not exactly going to get mad.
Yeah, but we're
exactly.
So in tune with one another that we don't really have to say, hey, I'm upset at this or that. We kind of know.
Which is so powerful. And that's the whole thing, is because you did talk it through, you know, you would go to her, and the way you approached her wouldn't be in a way of chastising her. It would be, you know, I love the way you said this. You know, I'm concerned about what this holding off on what you're supposed to do or procrastinating is going to do to you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a powerful way to say that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Because it really shows the other person how much you care about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's great. That's a wonderful way to say it. So, okay, let's run through these. How about impulsivity? Anybody struggling with that?
Only when it comes to food. Because I walk by a Starbucks and it's like, man, I need a coffee right now. You know what I really need? Mac and cheese right now.
Yeah.
This is the problem with living next to a grocery store is I have every available, anything I want. I just decide I need burritos. I can go get stuff to make burritos. It's bad.
So I think Lily and I are probably going through the same thing, and that is because of the change in circumstances in our life, we have excess money that's ours to do with what we want.
Independence and freedom.
So, yeah, exactly. So
I can spend my money however I want.
Yeah, I've had to rein that back. I've never been frivolous. I've always been, you know, frugal, but too frivolous for my own taste maybe recently. So, but I've reined that back in. So, yeah, initially I was like, ooh, I'm going to buy this and that. But I've reined it back in pretty well.
It's good that you could catch yourself because that's one of our issues is money with ADHD.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people that struggle with that. Yeah. So that's
but
great.
I find
so
that
you do
saving feels better than spending. So, all right.
Yeah, it really does. Yes, I like that. I really do. So, the other ones, I mean, are I know Deb, you mentioned to me that you're off medication, which is
completely
really awesome. That's awesome. Unbelievable.
I have my I have my ADD meds that I keep handy for bad days that I know that I'm just going to be, I can feel it when I wake up, like today's going to be a struggle, so I'll take my meds. But anything else that I was using for quote-unquote PTSD diagnosis, I'm completely
right.
off.
Right. Oh, wow. Oh, great. I'm so happy. And
yeah,
Lily, what about you? Are you still using the stimulant?
So I didn't end up, I was diagnosed when I was a senior in high school. I didn't end up taking any medication while I was in school because I know that there's some potential issues with it, and I watched mom going through her issues trying to find the right medication. I was like, there is no way I want to put myself through that when I'm facing finals and things like that. So I waited
right.
until I was out of school, and then I tried a medication. I don't remember what it was. Mom, maybe you'll remember.
Yeah, it was a long-acting
Ritalin.
Is that what it was? Concerta. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the first little bit, wasn't a problem, and then I think it was actually a day I was with you, Justine. For whatever reason, it was like as
I
things
remember.
In my life got more stressful and we were like having a conversation, it's like my brain just decided to shut down. It was like, all right, overload,
yeah.
I can't handle it anymore. And
yeah.
So basically at that point, I probably had maybe a month or two before I left for college, and the option was, I spend the next month or two potentially going in and out of feeling like this, trying different medications, or I just devote myself the next month or so to trying to, work toward just handling my ADHD by myself. And then I certainly didn't want to start trying medications while I was in college, so I'm not on any medication.
Wow.
Which is incredible. That's just incredible.
It's amazing.
The option to pop a pill to solve a problem is,
yep.
is
yep.
That's the easy way.
Yep.
She took the hard work way, and that's just Lily, though, her work ethic and everything.
Amazing,
is
Lily.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
willing to face a challenge head on and always
so amazing.
Rises above,
yeah.
Rises to the occasion and incredible.
See, and I think I remember that day, Lily, when you were with me, and
yep.
in fact, your mom came to get you. I think
mm-hmm.
it was.
Yep.
I
think one of us came to get you. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah that's
Both
right.
Of you
and
had
I
to
remember.
Come.
That's right, because the car. She had her car.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was no way I was getting home.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear that you just didn't start jumping around trying different meds. You just decided to do this, on your own. And you have mantras that you use. And, meditation and mindfulness is just so powerful. And you're going to take a class now this semester,
yep.
which is also going to help, to recenter you again. I'm sure that you are centered in many different ways. But just taking that class is a powerful. They offer that at your college?
It's technically a yoga class, but it's a
okay.
It's like a yoga mindfulness meditation thing. So it's
okay.
a full body mind experience. There's a decent Buddhist population at the school, and so
wow.
meditation and mindfulness is actually kind of a big thing that you'll see throughout the school. It's subtle, but it's there. There's in one of the apartment buildings in their laundry room. There's a big poster about tips for mindfulness and meditation, just because.
Wow.
A lot of people who practice that.
That is amazing.
Really cool.
I absolutely
really
love it. Oh, you have to let me know when you start taking the class how you like it, because, there is a
Definitely.
Form of yoga called Kundalini yoga,
okay.
which one of my clients, you would love this person. She comes to Thursday night group. She's amazing. She takes it just about every day.
Okay.
And it actually creates neuroplasticity, which I used to talk about.
Interesting.
How your brain, yeah.
Yeah.
So that may be what you're doing. In
something like
it,
that.
You should
I'm,
ask
I'm just
the instructor
that
if it's, it'll what?
Oh, I'm just hoping that it'll force me to be more intentional about regularly being
yeah.
mindful and meditating and things like that. But I can definitely
yeah.
ask
I think,
about that.
Yeah, I would ask them if this has anything to do with Kundalini, since they usually put
okay.
all that together. Yeah. The whole idea, too, she was explaining to me the other day is, how in different poses that you do in yoga, and I haven't done it in a while, but how they ask you to, stretch out and,
mm-hmm.
go beyond, basically. Well, that's mm-hmm. what they do a lot of this, is just can you hold it, this certain pose for, 2 minutes, and she says, after a minute and a half, you're ready to absolutely explode, but it's the mind that kicks in and is just like saying very gently, you can do this, you can do this. So that's pretty
yeah.
powerful stuff. Yeah, that's pretty
Definitely.
Amazing. Yeah. Deb, how's your mindfulness and meditation going?
Not great. I'm
okay.
actually going to be meeting with someone this week to teach me some techniques to help with sleep, because I do still struggle with anxiety when I go to bed, really bad anxiety
oh.
and nightmares.
Yeah. Yeah.
that hasn't gone away. So I'm going to be meeting with someone to do some specific work on sleep during the day. I'm really good. Life is really good. In pretty much all aspects of functioning. But I think I have a long drive to work, so I think I inadvertently do a lot of that just while I drive. Being quiet and thinking and things like that. But as far as like purposeful mindfulness meditation, I'll be doing that specifically for sleep.
Okay. Just
that could probably
focusing on
to, yeah.
Yeah,
I should probably incorporate it back into my daily life just because I need to.
Yeah.
But
it would be great, but you know,
it might
be good for you too. Do they offer anything there with mindfulness meditation?
I'm sure where the town I work in probably has lots
of
things.
Yeah, it's such a big thing now. Just about everybody has it. So here's a question for both of you, because I know you used to be together all the time. And you've been separated from each other. What's that? First of all, Deb, you're no longer in Los Angeles. What is that like for you? Has that been difficult
being away from Lily or being away from Los Angeles?
Let's talk about Los Angeles. Was that a difficult move or do you like where you're at?
It was a shock to my system, but I live in a very peaceful and serene place, and that's what I need. What I needed to. I lost my dad in January, and grieving
so
in LA just wasn't really an option. It just wasn't an option, and that was very unhealthy.
No.
But I have all the space in the world here to go through the grieving process in a very peaceful and serene place, and it's been instrumental in moving on in a healthy way from losing my dad, and then just daily living in a more peaceful place, a lower pace. It's been really good for me because I'm kind of a chill person, and the intensity of the city just doesn't mesh with me, I'm finding. And here I'm very peaceful all the time.
So great.
Yeah.
So
being away from Lily,
how has that been?
Very difficult. Probably can't talk about it.
Yeah.
At the moment. I'm trying to get my composure. But being away from her is hard.
Yeah. Has it been hard for you, Lily?
It's definitely, if nothing else, the word I would use is weird, because, you know, I've always had my mom. That's just, you know, she's always been a part of my life, and it's definitely weird being far away, and I don't know, it's weird. Weird is a good word, and definitely sometimes it's sad, and it's just, you know, there are parts of my life that I want to just share with her. I just want to go hang out with her and talk to her, and, you know, It's weird not being able to do that.
Yeah. It's the daily being able to catch up with one another, have, you know, tea or go for a ride and just catch up.
Exactly.
Being able to talk about what's going on. And
And
then not being
able
to be there for her
always,
when she's...
Yeah.
Being able to be there for her, like when she broke her thumb. That killed me when I couldn't be there. Her bike was recently stolen. She got hit by a car on her bike. Didn't get hurt, but her bike got destroyed. You know, things like that. It's excruciating to not be able to be there.
Wait,
I
got hit by
a little bit crazy.
How did she get hit by?
But she hit my bike, and then she drove away.
Lily was on her bike when it got hit. And the lady
it was stressful.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then Then her bike
and
got stolen
so
in her yard.
You know, I got it all fixed up, and you know, I paid to get it fixed, and then somebody stole my bike.
Oh no!
It's been crazy.
Wow, I thought Idaho was like very different than Los Angeles.
Bike theft is
true,
the number one
but I also
crime.
Live in a very sketchy little neighborhood at the moment, which is why I'm so ready to move out.
Yeah. I don't like that. As a mom,
anyway, that's been really hard.
That would,
exactly.
Yeah, that has to be
hard.
So when was the last time you saw each other?
And Easter? Whatever, was that March?
Yeah,
April?
That would probably be either March or April.
So, four or five months.
Spring break.
Yep.
And did you go to Texas or Debbie, you went to Idaho?
Well,
you
came to Texas.
But, yeah, I went to Texas, but Mom is going to be here in 11 days.
Woo! You are?
Yeah, I'm going to fly out and help her move into her new apartment. And
I
can't
I'm
even
so excited.
Put into words how excited I am.
Oh,
it's like not even
so
real. Like I get
how
to
long
go
are you staying?
I get to be there for 5 days, which isn't a lot, but I'll take it.
Oh, that's so great. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
I really am.
Yeah,
yeah, it's hard to
Me
be
too.
Separated. And especially when if there's chances, she broke her thumb, bike got hit by a car, she got hit. I mean, yeah, I'm like, I'm a mama bear like you. It's terrible.
It's hard. Although
yeah.
I have some really amazing friends that have rallied around her, which gives me a lot of peace of mind. So Lily has an amazing group of friends and
definitely
has helped me be peaceful. So.
And you know what? I always knew she would because that's who
yeah.
she is.
Yep.
She would pick really, really good friends. And at
mm-hmm.
some point, are you thinking about moving up there?
Well, we've talked about if Lily was 100% certain she was going to make Boise her home, that would be the goal. But she's not sure, so I'm not going to jump to
it's
a
It's not
move
that
to
I don't
someplace.
Love Boise. It's just
you
I
don't
know that
yet.
I want
to
see
decide.
Other places.
Yeah.
Right, right. No, I agree.
Yeah. So,
I think it's great
right now,
for you to say that.
Yeah, exactly. So rather than rushing to make a move that maybe I'm not ready for right now, to a place where I'll have to move again. I'm just going to kind of stay put and do my best to go see Lily as often as possible.
Yeah.
And then we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah. That's a good way to look at it, and it's all,
it takes
you know,
a,
that's going to work out.
Yeah. It kind of, I think probably takes a weight off of both of our shoulders to
definitely.
Lily not feel like she has to stay there because Mom's moving there, or to me feel like I've got to, you know, move there ASAP.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
Right. So, you know, sometimes I have people, they leave me questions on my website, and Steve pulled a couple of them off. So, so my daughter wants to do things, hang out with people that I don't think are appropriate. It becomes a battle. What do I do?
Hang out with people who are inappropriate. Well, I think I was pretty adamant about the people that Lily spent time with.
That's true.
You know, because I'm still her mom and I still need to protect her. I mean, I don't know how old this daughter is. That's a big factor.
No, they didn't.
But,
yeah, they didn't specify, but it sounds like it might be a teenager. So.
Okay, but, you know, if it was a situation like that, then I would, and the daughter really, really, really wants to hang out, then okay, let's all load up and go see a movie and kind of gauge the situation. But, if her intuition says that these are not safe people for her daughter to be with, then gotta go with your gut. That's
okay,
advice,
so because the second part of this question, now I'm seeing this, is they wanted to know, for Debbie, how did you deal with the situation, and Lily, too. And Lily, what did you want your mom to do? Like, I guess what they're asking is, let's just say, you know, you had friends that your mom didn't think were appropriate. What would you want your mom to do in order for you maybe to see these people? Now, you just answered that, Deb, by saying, let's all go to the movies together. Let's hang out. Let me see what these people are all about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm reading them wrong.
Yeah. That would be my part of it. And, you know, I was very involved in Lily's life, so I really got a pretty good grasp of what the people were like in her life. And Lily, there was probably several times you wanted to go hang out at somebody's house and there was going to be, you know, certain people there that I just was not comfortable with you being alone with or not alone with, but and the answer was no. And that's
definitely a sucky feeling when specifically with me, because it was like I've never felt like I had a whole lot of friends. I never had much of a social life. So when there was the opportunity to go somewhere, it's pretty much like any of my judgment about what was going to happen kind of flew out the window just because I had the opportunity to go somewhere and do something social. So there were times where, you know, she would say no, and it was like, that sucks. But at the same time, I just kind of have to trust her. So don't get me wrong, I probably moped a bit, but in the end, it's not that big.
And I hated saying no. I hated saying no, but if my gut said that I just couldn't in good conscience allow her to go hang out at a place where... And it was never a lack of trust in Lily, ever a lack of trust in Lily, ever. But a situation
right.
where she could potentially be at risk. That was
right. And so,
but
I think it's great.
What this question is sounding like is maybe influence, a bad influence, maybe, is
yeah,
what the mom's concerned about. And in that case,
yeah.
I would say just get them all together and go do something where maybe mom's not directly involved in the activities, but like go to the mall, let the kids go walk
right.
around, and you go do your own thing and check in periodically, maybe observe, and just
right.
and
right.
be involved somewhat, but not all in their business. But that would
no.
be my recommendation. That way, it's the daughter gets to hang out with her friends, feel a little bit independent because mom's not right on top of what they're doing, but mom can observe and be a text away if daughter needs her.
Right. And then also, could you take that a step further? And then after you and Lily, or let's say it's Lily, are alone
mm-hmm.
in the car, would you have a conversation with her about what you observed?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one thing
Lily
and I
important.
Think did well was communicate. There is nothing
right.
I don't think we left unsaid, I hope,
right.
in situations like
no.
that.
So what I think
both...
is incredible is that Lily was able to take no from you. Right, Lily? If mom said
yeah.
no, even though
and
it was
like
kind of painful.
And like I said, I wasn't always crazy about it, but at the same time, I know that chances are she sees things that I don't, and it's just kind of up to me to trust her. I know
right.
that it's not like she's out to ruin my social life. That's not the case. I know that for a fact. So the decision she makes, I just kind of trust. But there's, you know, I can trust her.
And then my other
right.
advice was always, why don't you get in touch with, you know, so-and-so and see if they're available and, you know.
Yeah.
Do that.
And then hang out with them so you're not home.
Yeah. That way
sitting
there's
home
something
and feeling...
social you're doing, but
right.
maybe not plan A.
Right. But see, the most incredible piece of this whole thing is how the two of you, from day one, were able to establish this incredible trust with each other and respect so
mm-hmm.
that when mom said no, or even if Lily said, I don't really want to do this certain thing,
mm-hmm.
that you respected her opinion enough
mm-hmm.
to say, okay, then you're not going to do it if you really don't want
yeah.
to do it. Whereas I see
yeah.
this dragging of kids back and forth to places and things that they really don't want to do. So,
right.
I mean, that's the point I'm trying to get across to everybody who's listening, is that you established this trust back and forth with each other
mm-hmm.
from day one.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then with regards to
that,
the friends, if when the daughter does have friends that mom trusts, feels good about, give them the freedom to go do things. I think, Lily, you went and did some pretty awesome things with friends. You guys would get in the car and drive to Third Street and hang out, or drive to the
yeah.
beach and hang out. And so she got to do, you know, a lot of really cool things that I was terrified because I hated and I hated her out driving in Southern California. It was terrible.
I know.
But
I know,
you know, she had to live and
yes.
experience life and go do fun things. So you
yeah.
do have to let your kids live life. You know, take an appropriate risk.
Yeah.
And just, you know,
yeah.
extend the trust.
Well,
like
yeah.
America, extend the trust that they're going to be, that you've equipped them well enough to make good choices while they're out.
Right. Right.
So.
And there's some things that are out there that are just completely out of our control, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep. Like,
you know,
getting hit
like,
by somebody.
Yeah.
Hit by a car.
When you're on a bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a car, Lily, or no?
No.
Okay. Do you miss that?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. because I'm limited to how far I can go on a bike, or, you know, what time the bus is going to show up, or how much I'm willing to spend on an Uber.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely miss having a car.
Yeah, I really understand that, but you know, the other side of having a car is the expense of having a car too, and
exactly,
you know, gas and all that other stuff. And I'm sure the roads up there are nothing like they are in Southern California, but
definitely different.
I would imagine. What, and are the people very nice?
For the most part, yeah. I don't know. I feel like there has to be a very specific situation for people to not be nice. For the most part, people are pretty chill, just kind of doing their own thing.
Wow. That's pretty incredible.
That's nice.
Yeah. Very different.
I like
where
it.
You grow up, where you grew up. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
So yeah, I think it's great because what you just said about this whole thing about having to say no, and especially with kids with ADHD, because there is that immediate gratification that all of us want, and we can get very upset when somebody tells us no, and especially as we're getting into the teenage years, because we want to do what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how you grew this incredible young woman.
Yeah.
Because you stood your ground, because you knew it was wrong. Your gut told you this wasn't right.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was always in her best interest. So I think you probably got that, Lil, that it wasn't me trying to be mean or deprive you of a fun time.
I trusted you.
Right.
I still do.
So you do. You call your mom too now.
Fun.
What's that, babe?
Because you don't want me to have fun.
No, I don't. I don't want you to have any fun at all, ever.
I knew it.
No, and see, that's the other. That's the other thing you guys do so well is you laugh together, which I really like.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
Lily
just,
and I have the most amazing time. Yeah, we laugh
it's
like crazy.
All about laughing and having fun.
I feel like that's
exactly
almost like one of the major bricks in our foundation is humor.
Exactly.
Right. Just
always
the,
has been.
The love of laughing. And we have identical sense of humor.
Definitely.
For the most part. For the most part.
I love it.
And
so
we laugh a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And laughter is definitely very helpful with the symptoms of ADHD as well, because I believe that you can laugh at yourself. You really can overcome that shame, you know, that is so pervasive for all of us with ADHD. And to get back to the executive function deficits, let's just talk about shame for a minute. Do either one of you deal with that at all?
Not at all anymore. Not at all.
Great.
I've never been more proud of myself, like, I guess.
Wow.
Basically. I'm proud of myself every day, and there's no shame. My life is free of shame.
So happy.
Guilt. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy. And what about you, Lily?
Sometimes. It's more like, part of what has, you know, made it very clear to me that I don't want to be a vet is that the clinic that I work in is just a really, really stressful setting, and there's a lot of times where it's like I'm trying really hard to do what I'm expected to do, and the vets just in general kind of treat people poorly, and it just there's, you know, which is part of why I'm you know, working so hard on trying to, you know, get back to my positive mantras, my positive, you know, self-loving, basically. Because there are definitely times where it's like, you know, I can't believe I just messed that up that bad. How stupid, and just talking negatively to myself, you know, feeling worthless.
Is that
and
something that you carry on
that
with
often.
You beyond the, so it happens, how long does the shame and guilt last? Is it like something that you have a hard time
problem
shaking?
Is that it can stay with me, definitely.
Okay.
There will be, you know, particular days, even when I wasn't working there, where I would just be in classes and maybe I did really poorly on a test or something like that, and I just can't fully understand why I'm not getting it the way my classmates are. You know, I lived in a building with a bunch of other people who were in similar classes. There was one guy who was in my biology class that I was just struggling with, and he was just acing test after test, and I've watched that guy get arrested. So I'm trying to figure out what is he doing right that I'm not doing. Yeah, we were driving down the street and we saw him getting arrested on the side of the road. So I don't know what happened, but we're talking the person who's, you know, constantly doing drugs and getting arrested is acing a class that I'm struggling in and I can't figure out why. So yeah, there were definitely some feelings of shame and some self-loathing, trying to figure out what on earth am I doing wrong.
Well, I have to tell you something. Sounds to me like that guy was a little bit of a sociopath, and they are very, very bright people, but that doesn't mean they're good people. That's what you do. That's not who you are. Right, exactly. So that makes me, you know, look, we all, and this is a big thing in our population, we all make mistakes, and we are our own worst enemy when it comes to that. Because we will beat ourselves up terribly, but then be so kind and loving to other people that make mistakes.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's something you have to really be aware of, and where I believe this meditation mindfulness yoga class is going to help you to really get more centered in it's okay to make a mistake. You know, it's okay to not do well on a test. We have all been there.
What changed for me is instead of, I make a mistake, fail at something, before it was like I was a mistake, I was a failure, identity
that's
of. I do make mistakes often. I fall on my face plenty, you know, with regards to what I'm doing day to day. And I get mad at myself, I cuss myself out and all those things, but that's where it ends. It's like, all right, what do I do to fix this? What do I do to not do this again? So that's what changed for me is I had that initial beat myself up pretty bad, but then I'm like, all right, I don't want to feel like this. I don't want to do this to myself. Okay, self, what are we going to do to not let it happen again?
Yeah. You can let it be.
Exactly. I let it be. It happened. I got mad at myself. I chewed myself out, and now we're done. We're going to move on and hopefully not do it again. But, yeah, I think it's extending grace to yourself, being kind to yourself, and not taking on the identity of I am a mistake, I am a failure, I am this thing that I did. No, it was something that happened, and I'm probably going to do it a million times again. But so
it's my job to move forward and do better.
Yeah. So that would be my advice to you, Lily, is just to give yourself a minute to feel what you're feeling and then say, okay, it happened. Make peace with it. I think that's the thing, is make peace with it. It happened, and there's absolutely nothing you can accomplish. You can't turn the clock back and undo it by being mad at yourself.
Yeah.
So.
And that's what I'm working on.
Yeah. Good for
you. Just extending myself grace.
And that's exactly right. Loving kindness, and, you know, the other piece is thoughts will constantly spin when we've done something that we feel is, you know, shameful.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the mindfulness comes in, where you catch those thoughts. And I think you know my mantra is, well, that's a fascinating thought, but I'm not going there. Because if I go there, then I'm gonna continue this, and my day's going to be ruined.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
something I forgot that I used to do that I've started doing again is make a decision that, okay, for example, Lily, I'm sure you do this. You make a decision about something and then go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and it's exhausting.
Yeah.
So just sit, like, make a solid decision or with regards to making a mistake. Okay, it happened, but it's not going to go past this. It's not going to go past this moment. So every time the voice starts, you know, the inner dialogue, you start chastising yourself, go, nope, I've already decided I put that to bed. I'm not going to have any more emotions about it one way or the other. So that helps is just the back and forth dialogue. You just, when it starts, I've already made the decision that is put to bed. I'm not going to reason with myself. So that's been really helpful for me. It's like, no, it's done.
Yeah,
again,
it is. It's done. It's in the past already.
Yeah. So that's helpful
for me. It's in the past. So, we have to let it be, and we have to move on for the rest of the day, because otherwise the day is ruined.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's how those...
It has definitely been refreshing to remind myself to just take things a day at a time, because the things that happened yesterday don't necessarily have to bother me today. Today is a new day.
Yeah,
and I have still, even now, I have the rest of the day.
Awesome.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, it's great. Yeah. It's, this mindfulness stuff is powerful in that way, because it can really help all of us to just center ourselves in terms of, I made a mistake. Everybody, there isn't anybody out there who is perfect. There's nobody. There's a lot of people that will tell you that they are, but there really isn't anybody. So we just have to understand that we are human and we're going to make mistakes every single day. And it's okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Remember that? I used to talk about internal validation. That's what it's all about. So you just have to remember that, and what your mom said is very powerful, you know, just don't let it ruin your day, because you have, you both of you are such happy people, such peaceful people in so many ways.
Yes.
I used to love the energy that I used to get from the both of you, because it was just made me feel really happy when you were around. And that's the energy that I love. Yes, I love that. And that's what you do for other people. You give that energy to other people.
Aww.
So, you know, just something to always remember. So I have another question. Somebody just asked, when you lived together, how did you set up rules about when you had to be home, when you had to go to bed, checking in, and how did you handle it when you had an impasse? Good question.
Okay, that was the living together, and what was the first part of that question? When we lived together?
So they asked, when you lived together, how did you set up rules about when, you know, she had to be home, or when she had to go to bed, or how did you have her check in?
Well, bedtime and things like that changed with her maturity. Now, Lily requires sleep to be...
a functional human being.
Yes, to function.
Otherwise, I'm a mess.
So Lily's negatively impacted in all aspects of her life if she doesn't sleep. So I felt very strongly about Lily getting adequate sleep. So when she was younger and her life wasn't, you know, filled with what, you know, assignments and things that did require her to stay up. You know, so bedtime was a thing because Lily needed sleep to feel well. So
that's
I would
true.
Encourage her to do so. At least be in bed with the lights off with her, you know. That was, I liked that. I liked her to at least be in bed. Now, as she got older, it was kind of, every year that went by, I feel like it was more and more up to her. Because you get to a point where you can't really tell your sophomore in high school what time she needs to go to bed. She knows what time she needs to go to bed. And it was basically, if you decide you're going to stay up until midnight, 1 o'clock, fine, but you need to be up and ready for school. That was kind of the thing. Because, you know, school was not optional. You had to be at school.
Right,
so it was in her best interest to go to bed. But at some point, you can't make your teenage kid go to bed.
No.
Yeah. So that's kind of how
we did it. They're asking about,
really,
when did they have to be home?
That changed as well, too. So when she didn't drive, there was obviously a time that I would have to go pick her up and have her home, and that was enough time to chill and get ready for bed, not have to rush, get her stuff set for the next day. So that just depends on the family's routine. For Lily, I don't know. You know, we'd try to get her home close-ish to bedtime. When she was driving... I liked her to be home before I went to bed. That was kind of my thing.
Okay.
On a school night, I don't know, it got later as she got older, but I liked her to be home before I went to bed because if something happened and I was sound asleep, there's nothing I could do about it.
Right.
So I don't know if that answers the question, but it's kind of gauged by...
What about the checking in? Like, if she was going to be... sounds like they're at an impasse with some of this stuff, so... When would you, Lily, would you check in all the time? Like, if you were out with the car, would you check in when you got where you were going?
Like, when I was, you know, younger, we're talking, like, maybe, you know, middle school, she definitely, you know, wanted me to pretty much always have my phone with me, which was, you know, for the most part fair. And there were a couple
right.
of times where I did not have the phone with me, and I would come back to a bunch of messages that were increasingly angrier over time, and that was scary. So there were a couple times that some things went down because I did not have my phone. But for the most part, as I got older, it wasn't that bad. I think, you know, she wanted me to have my phone with me. It wasn't that bad if I, you know, missed for a while. I would just let her know, hey, I'm fine. You know, things mm-hmm. are okay.
When she first started driving, yeah, I wanted her to,
that
like,
was,
let
I'd
me
let
know,
you know
when
I
you're
leave,
leaving
if
school.
I let you know when I get there.
Yeah, that's, I was.
Right.
So when she was.
And there were a couple times I forgot to do that, too, which
yeah.
did not end well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll
can,
own
I
that.
I can relate.
I'll totally own that. I was a wreck when I didn't know that she was okay. And it's like,
right.
we purchased this tool of communication for you so that we could contact you.
I'm sorry, I
use
forgot.
It. No, Lily, it's okay. I'm just saying, if there was anger at the time, it was like, if you're out in L.A. with,
yes.
you know, doing stuff, I
yes.
need to know you're okay. So we've got this tool so
yeah.
I can at least have the peace of mind that you're okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was,
and that's my bad.
That's,
yeah, and see,
was,
and so she's saying, which I think is great, I didn't do it, so I'm bad, you know, my bad, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of kids, they don't have that, again, that trust and respect going back mm-hmm. and forth. So, you know, these questions are great, but do you have in your family that trust and respect
right.
that needs to be happening in order for all of this to become part of life? I mean, I know with my boys, I used to say, you know, you guys can negotiate anything with me except safety. There's
mm-hmm.
no negotiation.
Right.
I give you a phone, you leave that phone on so that I
yeah.
can get you, or you
yeah.
let me know where you are.
Yeah.
And for the most part, they were pretty good about it because they knew
yeah.
that this was just because I loved them and I was
yeah.
wanted to make sure they were
yeah.
okay.
Yeah, that's
and
definitely
I
one thing.
I always definitely tried to do that. It was just from time to time it slipped my mind, and when I did it, it was usually when she was trying to reach me.
No, and then we got the, what is the thing, Lily? Find My Friends or whatever? So now
oh, yeah.
I don't
it's
use it
app.
Anymore, but like
you
back in the day.
You can register one another.
When
I
heard
really?
Her college.
Well, even in high school,
oh, wow.
when you were still in high school, or something, there was.
That
I can
right
see your location.
College.
So as long as I could see that her location was moving, I knew she was alive and okay. So then the checking in, the actual checking in with me wasn't such a big deal because I could go on and see that, you know, okay, that's where she is, and her little location dot is moving, so she's okay.
I'm alive.
So, yeah. So that was
that's
helpful.
Great. That's a good app for people.
Yeah, and when she went to school, to college, and I drove away, dropped her off in Idaho and drove back to California, I looked at her location probably 400 times a day. She was okay.
And when Mom moved from L.A. back to Texas, from time to time I wouldn't hear from her and I wouldn't know what was going on, so I would check hers just to make
yeah.
sure everything was okay, that I could
yeah.
still find her.
See, that's
yeah.
great. That's so sweet.
I
love that.
I don't think I've looked at your location, Lily, in probably 4 months.
Wow.
I haven't looked at yours since you moved.
Yeah.
See? You guys are getting better. This is great.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like
yeah.
I trust her. I know she's not crazy, so I know that if she's legitimately concerned, you know, that's fine. She's going to look. But I know that she's not going to, you know, do anything crazy and be constantly checking. I'm like, why are you here? Why are you there?
Yeah. What are you doing here, Lily?
Right.
Yeah, because there's a lot of parents that would. Do that. Not good, especially when they're in college.
Well,
listen, guys, I cannot believe that an hour and a half has gone by.
Really?
I just got the 90 seconds. They just let me know we have 90 seconds left.
Okay.
And
okay.
I just want to take this time to tell you how much I love the two of you, and I miss you terribly, and I thank you so much for doing the show because it was so powerful. I know so many people are going to grow from listening to the show if they take the tools that we gave them about trust and respect. So,
well,
thank
you for doing
so
what you do, Justine,
on.
And thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. It's a
yeah,
blessing.
Thanks for having us.
I want
yeah.
for being a part
oh,
of our
you're
life.
So welcome. Oh, thank you. I love being a part of your lives. And
love
hopefully
you.
We'll get you guys back on. I love you.
Yes. Okay, love you too. Justine, bye.
I'll talk to you soon. Have a great Sunday.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Justine. Bye.
Bye. So, everyone, I want to thank you for listening today. Great show. I personally love Debbie and Lily so much. They're wonderful people. And I hope you all were able to take away some real positives from the show. So I want to tell everybody to have a great Sunday. Just enjoy the rest of the day. I know the Olympics are on. Many people are watching those. And just to remind everyone to please stay in the moment. Okay? We'll be back next Sunday. Take care.